opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information on this show, visit KUCI.org. You're listening to 88.9 KUCI in Irvine with your host, Bill Brooks, University of California Master Gardener. We're here today with Olive Moore of the Orange County Gourd Society to learn about growing and using gourds. The Orange County Gourd Society is an affiliate of the California Gourd Society, which is a chapter of the American Gourd Society. So, Olive, welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your interest in gourds?
Well, thank you, Bill, for having me on the show. Yes, I am interested in gourds very much. I became interested several years ago, about 2007, I believe. Actually, I bought a couple gourds at a craft fair and didn't really know what they were. And the next week, I saw an ad for a beginning gourd class in Costa Mesa at Peacemakers. And so I went to that class, and that was the beginning. Fell in love with gourds, began to do gourd art, and then, of course, immediately wanted to grow my own gourds. And that's the fun part, is growing gourds. And so I just asked a lot of questions, went online, and began to enjoy my new hobby.
And learned yourself. So it sounds like a lot of people are interested in gourds. So what exactly are they?
Well, gourds are in the same family as the squash and pumpkins. They are a vine. They grow on a vine. And we particularly work with hard shell gourds. And so they are gourds that are not edible. They grow on the vine. What we do is, once they are dry, we have to leave them on the vine until the stem is dry and it no longer gets nourishment from the mother plant. And then you can cut them off. They're still green. They look almost like a watermelon because they're so green and very heavy, very full of water. And then we set them and let them dry. And I'll put them on a rack. The smaller gourds can dry in a couple months. Many of the larger gourds could take even up to a year to dry.
Wow.
And they're because they're thicker. Mm-hmm. And the thicker they are, of course, the sturdier they are and the more you can do with them when you're creating art.
So we're talking about basically a vegetable here, or actually it would be a fruit because the seeds are in it, and it's not edible. So what do you do with a gourd once it's dried and you're ready to go?
Once it's dried, we can cut it open. And I use a small jigsaw to cut it open because once the gourd is dried, it's very much like wood, actually. It's very hard. Cut it open with a little jigsaw. Then, well, you clean it first. It has mold. It gets moldy. So you clean it first.
So this is the outside surface is moldy.
Outside surface, yes, gets moldy. So if you're growing the gourd and you take it off the vine and it starts to dry and it gets moldy, don't think that you want to throw it away. Keep it. It's the mold that makes the beautiful patterns on the outside of the gourd.
So this is a situation where mold is good.
Mold is good. That's right.
Okay.
And so I just clean it with soap and water. With a little scrubby brush, takes that outside skin off. And then once it's clean, I cut it open and clean out the inside. The inside looks very similar to a pumpkin, except everything is dry. So there's a lot of membrane and a lot of seeds inside. And you must wear a mask when you're cleaning out a gourd. Be sure to wear a good respirator because it's full of mold, very fine mold, very hard on your lungs. So I always wear a mask when I'm cleaning out my gourds.
Okay, that's definitely something good to know. And so the membrane and the seeds are going to come out. So if you have a particular gourd that you liked, then I'm trusting you could reuse the seeds.
Yes, you can reuse the seeds.
Do you have, and the clubs have various seed trading and hybridization of particular gourds that you like, so you keep the seeds and trade them back and forth?
Yes, what I usually do is if I open a gourd that's nice and thick, and I like it, I like the size and shape, I will save the seeds. I always put them in a bag and mark what they were. A lot of times I'll take a picture of the gourd that they came out of,
mm-hmm.
and then we trade seeds back and forth. Now, gourds will cross-pollinate, so if you're growing more than one variety, actually, if a gourd blossom is pollinated by another variety, the new plant produced from that seed will be like the papa. It won't be like the mama. So you may be surprised when you plant those seeds and it came out of a large round gourd, and when that new plant comes out and bears fruit, it may be shaped differently. But we have growers throughout the United States that grow seeds. They'll grow one whole year, one crop of all of the same variety, so that their seeds are pure. So you can order seeds online from farmers who raise pure seeds. Also, what they'll do is once that female blossom comes out, they'll hand pollinate it, and then they bag it so that it cannot be contaminated.
I see. So it's kind of, and for storing gourd seeds, do you store them in your refrigerator or do you keep them in a dry place?
It's not necessary to refrigerate them. I just keep the seeds just on with all my gourd supplies. I have an area where I keep them, and they're all labeled just dry.
Just dry. And how long will a seed last? How many years?
It will last many, many years.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yes, I've had seeds that I've had 6-7 years, and they germinate without a problem.
It comes to the point where you're doing art. And tell us a little bit about the mediums that can be used to turn a gourd into a work of art.
They're almost endless. It's so interesting. And I guess that's why I love gourds so much, is because gourds, once they're cleaned out and you want to make art with them, it's similar to wood. You can carve them, you can wood burn, you can paint them, you can weave with them.
Wow.
As far as medium, you can use ink dyes, leather dye, alcohol ink, acrylic paints, chalks, colored pencils. Almost any medium that you would use in any other kind of art, you can apply on a gourd.
And I even noticed that you're using an epoxy clay, so if you want to get a 3D feature, epoxy clay works.
Yes, it does, and I use a lot of epoxy clay. I love to carve. Carving is my favorite thing, so I like thick gourds, and I carve, and that alone makes 3D. But if you add clay to it, and I do use an epoxy clay. Sculpt Nouveau is one clay, epoxy clay, and Quickwood is another one that I use. That also adds a great deal of dimension with your gourd.
Yeah, and it's using that type of clay because, of course, a gourd is flammable, and if you had to fire it, you would lose your gourd.
That's right, yeah. Okay. You can't use polymer clay, any kind of clay that needs to be fired.
Okay. Well, that's good to know for a budding gourd artist, is that the clay does matter. So a variety of mediums can be used. So you've opened your gourd. What decision do you have to make as to whether you're going to carve it or not?
Well, when I open a gourd and clean it out, depending on how thick it is, if it's very thick, they can be up to 1 inch or 3/4 inch thick.
Wow.
And if that is true, then you would save that gourd to be carved. That would definitely be a gourd that's carved. Some gourds, because of the variety or because of lack of water, lack of sunshine, there's a lot of reasons why gourds, lack of good fertilizer, why gourds would be thin. And they may be 1/4 inch or even 1/8 inch thick. Those gourds I would either paint or wood burn, and just what I'm doing my artwork would be on the surface of the gourd.
I see. So you also said, too, that the shape of the gourd, you're going to see the art and what you're going to do with it. So you're looking at the gourd and you're deciding whether you're going to make it into a turkey, a turtle, a vase, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit about that and some of the things that you've made?
Well, yes, some of the shapes just want certain types of gourd.
Mm-hmm.
And fact is, I had an experience early in my gourd years. I grew a gourd, and it was a club gourd. So it's long, it's like 36 inches tall, small at the top, and then it gets larger as it goes down. And when I harvested that gourd, I just looked at it, And it just said to me, I want to be a witch. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, a really tall, skinny hat. It would be so cute to make a witch. I'm like, okay, I'm making a witch out of that. Well, it sat, put it aside, and I got busy. Didn't make it as a witch that year. And the next year, I was making a watering can for a particular competition. And I needed a gourd for the spout of the watering can. And that gourd was the perfect shape because it started, it was big, and it would get smaller. And it, perfect for the spout of a watering can. So I picked it up, and it looked at, it just said, but I wanted to be a witch. And so I said, okay, you're going to be a witch. And I sat it aside, and I did make a witch out of it that next year, and it made a beautiful witch. For the most part, you just look at the shape. A lot of times I'll take a gourd, and I'll just set it on the kitchen counter and leave it there for a couple weeks and just look at it as I'm going around the house doing whatever. And then ideas come to me, and then I know what I'm going to do with that gourd. Other times, I have an idea that I want to make a particular art piece, mm-hmm. and then I will go and search for the gourd that's suitable for what's in my mind. So it works both ways.
Both ways. All right. That's great. So I've even heard of gourds being used as a motorcycle helmet in Nigeria. Can you tell us a little bit about humans' use of gourds throughout history?
Yes, I have seen pictures like that, and it's absolutely amazing. Before I talk about the history, I have to say that we have competitions in gourd hats. So in our festivals, everyone makes their own gourd hat, and we do a parade, and we have competition with our gourd hats.
Interesting.
And they are just absolutely, some of them are funny, some of them are beautiful, and it's just a lot of fun to make a gourd. Mm-hmm. I have several hats that I have made. But in time past, through history, they are used for containers. That's what they were used for in the beginning. They carried grain, they carried water, they carried wine, they carried seeds, everything. And then they were used as utensils, dippers. We have gourd that has a big ball on the bottom and then a long handle, and we call it a dipper gourd. Why? Because they were used as dippers.
To dip water out of a river.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And then they're used for musical instruments, drums and flutes and string instruments. There's just so many different instruments that are made with gourds. And fact is, when you look at pottery, when they began to make pottery, what shape did they use? They used the shape of the gourd. So when you look at a gourd, you go, oh, that looks like a piece of pottery. No, the pottery looks like the gourd.
Looks like the gourd. I see.
The gourds came first.
All right. So I know there's some native gourds in California, such as wild cucumber and coyote gourd, which if you go for walks in Orange County, you can see. Can these be harvested and made into gourd crafts?
They can. I have several coyote gourds. I have friends that will bring me coyote gourds where they have them grow. However, the coyote gourds are very thin. They have a thick membrane inside, different from the hard shell gourds. The membrane inside is more like a loofah gourd, where it's very, very porous, very thick, and the skin is so thin that the coyote gourds, I use them to make ornaments, Christmas ornaments, because they're round.
Oh,
and they make wonderful tree ornaments, and paint them, but they're too thin to carve, and they're too thin to even wood burn. They're very fragile.
I see.
But if you paint them and put a clear polyurethane coat on them, they do make beautiful instruments.
Wow, that's interesting. So do you prefer to grow your own gourds, or do you purchase them, or do you have a preference?
Well, I prefer to grow my own gourds. However, I don't have a lot of room for growing, and so I just stick them in between my rose plants. I put a gourd by my trellis. But if you're not able to grow your own gourds, we have gourd farms. There's a gourd farm outside Temecula. It's Wellburn Gourd Farm. and they sell 350,000 gourds a year. So they're a serious gourd grower.
They are.
And their gourds are wonderful. They're thick. You can buy them online or go out to the farm. It's out by Fallbrook is where the farm is. But to me, growing gourds, there's so much more rewarding to do artwork with a gourd that you have grown yourself.
Someone wanted to try the hobby before they actually grew them. They could get a gourd online and see what they could do with it. And that might be a good way to begin the hobby.
Yes, it's very much available.
So if someone chooses to grow their own gourds, do you have a species that works best for art in Orange County growing conditions?
I think any variety would grow. I think the most popular is the bottle gourd, which is two balls. It kind of looks like a little person because they use those for birdhouses.
Yes.
Birds love to live in gourds. They love to build nests in gourds. And online, you can find what size of hole is suitable for every different kind of bird. Because birds are a little fussy about where they nest.
Mm-hmm.
I have a birdhouse that I made that I have a wren that comes and builds a nest every year, and that's very rewarding.
Yeah, because I mean, as much as we as humans want to have the least amount of impact on the planet, and allowing nature to come into our yards is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So where would a listener find seeds?
Online. There are seeds, and I would recommend, as you said, our Orange County Gourd Group is a member of the California Gourd Society, and currently I'm the president of the California Gourd Society, and we are a chapter of the national organization, which is the American Gourd Society, and their website is a wonderful website, and they have lists and lists of where you can buy gourds and where you can buy gourd seeds, pure gourd seeds. So I would recommend AmericanGourdSociety.org.
Okay.
Is the website. There's just a lot of information on there. They have articles on growing gourds and so many wonderful, they have tutorials and good reference on where to buy seeds.
Okay, so once you have your seeds, you're going to get them growing. Tell us a little bit about what time of year you start your seeds and where you start them and then when you transplant them and how you get your seeds into the ground and growing into gourd plants.
Okay, well, first of all, when you take your gourd plants out in the fall, you want to amend your soil or use steer manure and stir it up in the dirt. And then in the spring, again, when you go to plant your gourds, you want good earth for it to be planted in. And I start my gourd seeds, I put them in a tray of paper towels that are wet, and I actually put them on a cookie sheet and put plastic wrap over them and put them in my oven with just the oven light on so that it's just barely warm. And in 2 or 3 days, they will sprout. And so I like to see when I start gourd seeds, I want to know now that they're going to grow instead of just sticking a gourd seed in the ground, which you can do. You can just put your gourd seed right in the ground and it will sprout in a week or so. But I like to see that it's a live seed to begin with. And then I put my gourd seeds in little peat pots. And I'll put like 3 seeds in each peat pot after it's already sprouted. Then put them out in the sun and let them be in the sun in the daytime. The evenings here are cool, so I bring them in at night. I have them on a little table that rolls, take them in at night. And then pretty soon those little sprouts come up out of the peat pot, and that's the most exciting thing. I post on Facebook, look, I have gourd plants,
and it's sprouted.
It's so exciting. And then when there's about 4 leaves on, then I transplant them, put them down into the ground. You want to be sure to begin with that they have good fertilizer. I use a good 10-10-10 fertilizer on them, and until they get up and growing. Once a vine gets about, maybe like 10 feet long, you want to snip off the end. And that encourages the lateral vines to begin to grow. And that's where the female plants are going to be. That's where your gourds are going to grow. And so once the lateral come out and you start to get blossoms, then I switch from a 10-10-10 to a 0-10-10. To begin with, they need the phosphorus and they need the nitrogen, but you want to take away the nitrogen as they're growing to, and you want all that energy to go into the fruit,
into your fruit
to grow, which I'm sure is similar to many other plants that are
growing. That's vegetable growing, and so you want to pretty much follow that. So in your peat pot, if you have three plants coming out, do you cull two of them?
Yes, once I plant them, I let them grow a little bit, and I see which one is going to be the strongest one, and then I pull the others. So,
and you put the whole peat pot right in the ground?
I put the whole peat pot in. They are a plant that does not like their roots disturbed. So if you pull a plant out of the ground and try to transplant it, it's not going to do very well.
Okay, so that's good to know, is that you want to be careful of the roots, mindfulness, so you're either going to bury them into the soil itself, or you're going to put them in a peat pot and then put the whole pot in the ground so that those roots do not get disturbed.
And the roots will just grow down through the peat pot, down into the fertilizer, and they actually grow quite extensively. They have quite an extensive root base.
Okay, and so what time of year do you like to start your seeds?
I like to start my seeds around the end of March, early. Now, I do like to, I usually start them the week before a full moon, not on the full moon, but the week of the full moon. And I know some people don't, you know, pay attention to that. But I just want to give them every opportunity to succeed. So I start them the week before the full moon, around the end of March, and then they'll sprout, and by the end of April, they'll have 4 to 6 leaves on them, and that's when I put them in the ground.
And so you want to make sure that these are, no chance of frost is
that's correct. No chance of frost, yes. You don't want to put them in the ground until you're sure that they're not going to freeze off.
And so you want them to be frost-free. Tell us about the fertilizer and that you change the fertilizer, and of course you start in the fall with the steer manure, and then you use a liquid or a granulated fertilizer with the right nutrient levels in it. So the soil and the sunlight and the water conditions, tell us a little bit about those conditions for growing gourds.
Okay, gourds like a lot of sun and they like a lot of water because they retain a lot of water. When you harvest a gourd, you'll know they are very, very heavy. They need at least 6 hours of sun a day. I like to plant them so that the south sun is hitting them most of the day. And then I water them, make sure they get water every day. The leaves do not like to get wet, so I have bubblers to water them. The leaves will get rusty. If they get wet.
Do you let them dry out between waterings?
No, I do not. They do not need to dry out between waterings. In fact, they will begin to look sad
if they do dry out too much. So a sad-looking gourd means a little more water.
Some more water.
So you want to make sure their roots are wet, but their leaves stay dry.
That's it.
So if you're using a sprinkler system in your yard, you might want to turn off your spray head if it's going to hit your gourds. And either irrigate or use a bubbler system.
Yes, I've changed all my heads to bubblers that are by my gourd plants.
Okay, and that works. And do you mulch around your gourd plants at all?
I haven't. Not necessary.
Not necessary. Yeah. So you just want to see
that. It would help retain the moisture.
Yeah, that, of course, any kind of mulch does. And so they're a full sun plant.
Yes.
All right. So when you're growing them, do you need to support your gourds on a trellis? Or do they grow along the ground?
And the answer is yes. They will grow anywhere. I have a trellis. They love to grow up on the trellis. Fact is, my trellis is close to a small tree. They'll just keep going right up into the tree. However, if you don't have a trellis, they'll grow on a fence row. They will grow along the ground.
Okay. Hey, this is a good spot for us to take a little break here. It's named KUCI. 88.9 in Irvine, and the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information on this show, visit KUCI.org. And we're here today with Olive Moore, talking about gourds and everything you want to know and can do with gourds, and it really opens the whole gardening art hobby into one and really allows us to get involved and use our right brain and think and grow. And so we were talking about gourds and supporting them on a trellis or growing along the ground, and it didn't matter. But talking to you earlier, you said something that once you have your gourd, to keep it from getting odd shaped, what do you have to do?
Well, there's a couple things that I do. If they're growing on the ground, as the gourd begins to grow, I will sometimes put a small support underneath them to keep them out of the dirt. You don't have to, but it just makes for a truer shape of the gourd. If they're a larger gourd, if they're on a trellis, I like to support them with some sort of a sling, because if they're on the top of the trellis, the vine, if the gourd is too heavy, the vine will bend from the weight of the gourd. Then it won't get enough nutrition. So I make slings out of pantyhose or cheesecloth, anything that you can use to put around the bottom of the gourd and then tie it up on the trellis to take the weight off from the vine itself.
So I would imagine a large side gourd can weigh several pounds.
Yes.
And being that this is a non-woody plant, it will bend the stem.
It will bend the stem. Yes, last year some of my gourds weighed up to 40 pounds, large gourds.
Oh my, that's big.
Large enough that I have difficulty picking them up. But they do need support. And I also watch my gourds and I set them up. Often the way the vines are growing, a gourd will want to grow laying on its side. And if that's so, it will have a flat side. So thinking that you're going to use them for an art project, I take the gourd and set it up so that the stem is above the gourd instead of on the side. And that makes for a more perfect shape of the gourd.
So the ones on the ground, you rotate slightly.
Yes, I do.
And then what do you use? You said about keeping them out of the dirt. So what kind of support do you use to keep them out of the dirt?
I just have some little plastic squares. They were like broken pieces from a light fixture or pieces of clay from a broken pot. I will set it on. Anything just to keep it up out of the dirt.
Yeah, because I would imagine that you're going to get mold problems again. It would be the same as with the leaves. You don't want the actual gourd to be in the ground so that you avoid that rot.
Right.
So when it comes time to harvest your gourds, what are you looking for when you decide that you're going to pick them?
When a gourd needs to, you need to be sure that it's no longer getting nourishment from the mother plant. If you pick it early, like you would a pumpkin, it will rot, it will shrivel up and not be able to be used for gourd art. So you want to wait until the stem begins to turn brown, the stem of the gourd that's right by the gourd. It needs to be brown, and then you can cut it off. And once then you cut your gourd off, you can put it on a rack, set it. I don't like to set them in the direct sun. I like to have them dry in the shade, in a shady area. If they're in the hot sun, they can build up pressure inside, and that will make a gourd crack.
And then it's not good for art, or as good for art as it was.
That's right.
So when it's harvest time, what does the plant look like itself?
The plant begins to dry around the 1st of October, so I begin to not water it as much and eventually just cut off the water completely. That encourages the plant to dry up. Then the leaves will begin to dry. They'll get brown and fall off. Sometimes even before the vine is dead, you'll lose the leaves on the plant, and that's fine. You just want to leave it on the vine until it, it's it's ready.
So I'm guessing October is about
October,
harvest time.
Yes, and if it's a very large gourd, it may even be November. It depends on what your spring is like and how hot your summer is, mm-hmm. and what your fall is like. One year I didn't harvest my gourds until the first week of December. They weren't ready until then because we had a really late spring and they got a late start.
So when you're drying them, it's a process. That's when they're going to, the mold is going to appear. And about how long does it take to completely dry a gourd before you can do art?
Many gourds will dry just in a couple months, but it takes a while because all that moisture needs to evaporate from inside. You don't want to cut a hole in it. That will make it shrivel. You keep it intact until it's totally dry. You know when it's time to cut it open. If you shake it and you can hear the seeds, then you know it's dry enough. But up until you can hear the seeds, just leave it alone. It may look like it's dry, but it's not until you can actually hear the seeds. But they begin to mold as soon as they start to dry. And the mold is good because mm-hmm. the mold is what creates the beautiful designs on the surface of the gourd. And if you don't want any markings on your gourd, you can wipe the mold off with a light bleach water solution. Mm-hmm. and keep it mold free. For the most part, we like to have the mold markings because that's part of the artwork. You work with that in creating your piece of art. And so I just let it mold dry. The mold dries until you hear the seeds, and then it's ready.
So that can be anywhere from a couple months to maybe even over a year.
Even over a year. Some of the really thick gourds could be up to a year before it's totally dry.
Wow, that's amazing. So this is also, well, as we know in gardening, it does take a lot of patience. You also told me that when your gourds were blooming, tell us a little bit about the gourd flower itself, the color, and you said you actually pollinated them.
I do. The gourd blossoms are white. Most of the varieties are white. And the female gourd blossom, you will see the baby gourd right behind the blossom, so you know what shape of gourd you're going to get right from the beginning. The male blossoms have more pollen on them. The blossoms come out right at dusk is when they usually, the blossoms will open up right about dusk time. And they don't last that long. They'll be open all night. They depend on the night flying moths to pollinate. In the morning, as soon as that sun starts hitting them, they'll begin to wither. So I like to go out about dusk when I see the female blossoms open. I take a little paintbrush or a Q-tip, and I get pollen from the male blossoms and dust it on the female.
So you're just ensuring that the pollination occurs.
Yes, that's right.
To make sure that happens.
A better chance. And it's disappointing when you see that tiny little gourd start to shrivel. You know that it didn't get pollinated. Mm. So I work really hard at getting every one of them to germinate.
Do gourds have any kind of an insect problem at all?
They do. Carpenter beetles are one of the, they will eat away at the roots. Other than that, in Orange County, there's not much of an insect problem.
Okay, that's good to know. So if you do get the carpenter beetle, is there a treatment or a procedure that you like to use to prevent them or eliminate them?
I think it's just you just put up with them and let them do their thing.
We do that with a lot of things.
What you do need to do is if you do have an insect problem, when you pull those vines out, you make sure you get every bit of the vines out of the ground.
And that would be after you've harvested in the fall.
After you've harvested them, yes. Don't leave any chance for those insects to leave their eggs in the dirt. You need to get every bit of the roots out of the dirt, and that helps prevent for the following year.
Prevent them. Okay, snails, are they a problem? Because I know a lot of us have snail problems.
I have snails, yes. I haven't had snail problems here. I don't know if they would... if there would be a problem or not, because I haven't had any snail problems.
Okay, all right, well, that's good to know. So a gourd is a pretty hardy plant to grow. So do you have a particular favorite art that you like to do with a gourd, or a favorite craft or favorite medium? What's your go-to if you're going to do it, or does it matter?
I do several things. I do carving, and I do wood burning, painting, and some weaving, but my very favorite is carving. I like to work with the thick gourds, and I have a carver like a Dremel, and I love to make 3D art. I like to put more than one gourd together with the epoxy clay and create different. I've made a snail and mushrooms and several different 3D objects by putting more than one
gourd together, yes. So that it kind of matches. And then, and I can see your mushrooms sitting here, and they're quite awesome. And they really do look like mushrooms. You wouldn't believe that they came from a gourd. And so that's a fascinating way of doing things. Your paint type, do you use acrylic? Do you use oil? What holds up best for paints when you're painting a gourd?
I use a lot of ink dyes because they're transparent. So like leather dye can be used. Now, leather dye itself will fade quite easily. So they have developed some ink dyes that are similar on applying as leather dye, but they're more fade resistant. So the dyes, the alcohol inks you can use, we like to use the mediums where you can see the gourd through, the molding through. However, I also use acrylics for painting. If you want something opaque, acrylic paints work well. Pastels, colored pencils.
So you just, again, the choice is endless of what medium that you use. And so if I made a vase out of my gourd, could I put water in it and fresh flowers?
If you seal it, there you can use a polyurethane inside and seal it, then you could. But for the most part, recommend that you put a glass vase inside your gourd, and if you're going to put fresh.
So you wouldn't use gourd art for serving food at all, like a salad, or could you?
They do have a salad bowl varnish. It's called salad bowl varnish that you can put inside your gourd, and it is food safe.
Okay, so that's good to know. So again, as I'm listening to you, the varieties are endless, and so that's awesome to know. Do you have if you had to pick one, a very favorite gourd that you've ever done, what would that be? And that's a hard question.
You know, a lot of times when you're creating art, get ideas from other things that you see, either a ceramic vase or you'll see something online and go, oh, I could make that with a gourd. And actually, I get very few original thoughts because I get ideas from other places. But I did get an idea about making an owl on a gourd, and I carved the owls on a very thick gourd. It's 3D, and I taught the class several times, and I would have to say that's probably my favorite.
Your favorite owl gourd.
And it's carving.
Okay.
Quite a bit of carving.
So you said you taught a class. A budding gourd artist could take a class to begin with, and there's a beginner class. And tell us a little bit about the classes and when they occur and how one goes about taking one.
Yes, there are classes, a lot of classes. In fact, when I was first introduced to gourds, I took every class available, and I learned so much. So today, gourd artists will have classes. The best way to get in touch with classes is to connect with a gourd group, and the Orange County Gourd Society that meets in Costa Mesa is a good way to start with that. We do, at our meetings, we meet once a month, third Saturday of the month, and we meet at the Presbyterian Church on Fairview. And we do demos at almost every meeting. We'll do demos. We have a share and tell, and we share ideas. We have festivals throughout our state of California. This year we had three festivals. We had one in Amador County, and one in the Bay Area, just south of San Jose at San Martin. And then last weekend, we just had a gourd competition in Orange County in Santa Ana. And we did that in conjunction with the woodcarvers. So every year we have festivals and competitions. So at festivals, we will have gourd classes. They usually have 2 or 3 days of chord classes, and you can sign up and take the classes. You sign up in advance, and then they will have different booths where gourd art is for sale, supplies, different supplies for gourd artists. The competition is a part of the festival, mm-hmm. and we have the one in Amador County. We had 58 entries, which it was a small festival, and that was a good showing. In the Bay Area, our competition that we had the second weekend in October, we had over 60 entries, which was good. Last weekend, we do the competition. It's in conjunction with the woodcarvers, and we like to do a lot with the woodcarvers. We use all the same tools as the woodcarvers.
Yeah, I can see that it's very similar.
It is. And so they had their show and competition in the same building and shared it with us, and we had 98 entries in our competition, which is the most we've ever had. So we have different categories, novice, different divisions, novice, intermediate, advanced, and masters. And then within each division, they'll have categories, which is carved, wood burning, pyrography, painted, weaving, all different categories. So you're competing with like entries like levels of difficulty.
So the pyrography, is that the clay?
No, the pyrography is wood burning. It's another word for the wood
burning. Wood burn pyrography. Okay, yes, that's something to know.
Clay is, if you are demonstrating just your clay, it would be in a category that would be anything goes, mixed media, because the main techniques are the carving and the weaving and the pyrography and the painting. Those are the four main techniques that are used with gourds.
So the Orange County Festival occurs once a year, and it's usually held in the first or second weekend of October?
Yes, I think it's usually the third
weekend. The third weekend in October.
It depends on the woodcarvers, because they're the ones that actually set up the venue.
Okay.
And so we're dependent on them, but they try to get the third weekend. This year we met in a union hall in Santa Ana. And so it's well advertised before. We have flyers in there, and it's posted online, and we distribute them throughout Orange County and make it known when our festival is.
Yeah, and I see you're an award winner. So tell us a little bit about your first place gourd and what you made and the medium and things about that.
Well, this year I won first place in a category. I'm in the advanced division, so I've gone through novice and intermediate. Mm-hmm. I've advanced up into advanced, but okay. I haven't arrived yet, because I'm not in the master's division yet. And my gourd that I entered was whimsical. It had pictures of little dogs and cats that were yellow, blue, green, all different colors. So very whimsical design in the painted division, and I got a blue ribbon for
okay.
it.
And so the other thing, too, I wanted to ask is that when you're finished with your either the carving or the paint, then you put a spray varathane, or how do you actually finish the gourd to preserve it?
I usually use a semi-gloss polyurethane spray, sometimes a water base, so that it dries very quickly. It doesn't take much to seal the gourd, but you do want your artwork sealed.
And so if you use a couple coats?
A few, yes, 2 or 3 light coats.
And that's your finishing touch, and then the gourd is mm-hmm. completed. And that may be a process that when you talk about going from seed to finished art, could be 3 years in length or more.
It could be,
maybe even less, but that's part of the interesting thing. So it is a long process, thinking about things. If you want to get involved, if you want to see the competition, then you can look around October every year.
Yes.
And look for the Orange County Gourd Society. And then, do you have a booth at the Orange County Fair at all? Or is there a competition there too?
There is competition at the Orange County Fair, and there is a gourd category. And every year we do enter gourds in the Orange County Fair. This past year, we had an entry in the Masters, which was, we were very pleased to see that they let us into the sculpture. master's division instead of crafts.
I see. So you're in sculpture now.
So we're in sculpture. That is something, one of our goals is to educate the public to know that gourds is not just a craft. It's not just birdhouses and skeletons or pumpkins. It's fine art. Gourd art can be fine art. And so we were very pleased to get in the fine art division this year.
Do you know if there's any artists that sell their finished work? And like, are they at the Sawdust Festival in Laguna Beach? Or can someone, if they want to just buy the art, can someone find that?
We actually this year did have one artist at the Sawdust Festival the whole time, and she sold quite a bit of art. The best thing, I guess, is to connect with a gourd group or online. What is available online is unlimited. Etsy, they sell all kinds of gourd art.
On Etsy, too. And it's quite beautiful sculpture. And so do you know what a master's work might go for price-wise?
I do. I have a few friends that are masters. Their work will go for several hundred dollars.
It's amazing.
One of the artists in Arizona, her gourds will sell for well over $1,000 a piece. Beautiful, beautiful artwork. But like you said, it takes a couple years to create that piece.
Yes.
You know, off and on. Very detailed work.
So that's what makes it so fascinating. So tell us a little bit about the Orange County Gourd Society and their website. It sounds like if you went to a meeting, you could go as a newcomer and you would be welcomed in. Their meetings sound like they're a lot educational as well. So tell us a little bit about what would happen in a meeting.
Yes, they are. Our meeting, like I said, is held in Costa Mesa at the Presbyterian Church. And what we do at the meeting, it's on Saturday from 10 to 2. We bring a sack lunch, and we have a little business meeting, and then we have a share and tell. Everyone brings what they've been working on to share what they've done. And then we usually have a time where there's a demonstration given. So we share techniques. If you've learned a technique in a class, you can come and share it. If you've come up with something new, you can share it. Often we'll repeat a demo because some techniques are a little more difficult, so we do them again and again, and we help the members learn what they're doing. So we have, in the Orange County group, we have many beginners, intermediates, and a few advanced. Some of our members have been gourd artists for 20 years, some less than a year. So it's just a lot of sharing and learning about each other and what we can do with gourds.
So the meeting itself is educational. And then the Orange County Gourd Society is also a chapter in the California Gourd Society. And does the California Gourd Society have meetings?
We do not have specific meetings.
So it's your county chapter or your regional chapter?
The regional chapter. The California Gourd Society sponsors the festivals.
Okay.
So it's that organization that sponsors the festivals. We do have a board meeting every January, but that's not a regular meeting. But we're a part of the American Gourd chapter of the American Gourd Society.
And so tell us a little about the American Gourd Society.
And it is nationwide, so every state has a chapter. There's a few states that don't have an official chapter, but most of them do. And most every state has their own festival. So there are festivals in Texas, in Michigan, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And as far as growing gourds, on the East Coast, the North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, those states put a lot of emphasis on growing gourds, and they have competitions with raw gourds, and not just gourd art. They'll have competition with finished gourds, growing gourds. They'll have categories like three dipper gourds that are identical, or the longest long-handled dipper gourd, or the fattest canteen gourd. Different categories for raw gourds.
That's interesting to know.
And that is a lot of fun.
Do you know what the largest gourd ever grown is? Because I know the pumpkins every year always go into competition.
Yes, they do. I saw a picture just the other day that had a long-handled, I think it was a long-handled dipper gourd, and it was 20 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that is a big gourd.
That is a big gourd. That is very unusual, but I'm sure would be the winner of
all.
And
I bet the seeds from that gourd are saved.
I bet they are. There's one thing we do with gourds in California, with long-handled dipper gourds, and we call it manipulating. So while the gourd is on the vine, while it's still fairly small, we tie a knot in the handle of the dipper gourd. And so it's a very slow process. You bend it just a little bit, and then a little bit, and a little bit, until you can turn it into a knot. So when the dipper gourd is like 4 or 5 inches long, so it's still a little baby, you can manipulate it into different designs. Sometimes you'll put a gourd in a mold while it's growing, and it'll grow and fill up the mold. I have taken plexiglass plates and put a baby gourd in between the plates, so as it grows flat.
Interesting.
Instead of round.
Wow, that's cool.
And Jim Story is a gentleman on the East Coast who specialized in manipulating gourds. He has now passed away, but we have carried on his tradition. And in our competition, we have categories for manipulated gourds. So we have people that enter gourds where they've manipulated them, and then we have a category for crafted manipulated gourds. So you take a gourd that has been manipulated, and you create artwork with that.
I see.
And that's very, very popular, especially on the East Coast. But our festival in the Bay Area always has a category for the Jim Story.
Manipulated gourd category. Fascinating. Oh, I bet that would be definitely something you want to see. So we have covered an awful lot of information today. So to start, if you're interested in getting involved in both growing and then doing artwork with your gourds, go to the Orange County Gourd Society's website. And their website is at ocgourdsociety.org. So ocgourdsociety.org, and you can also check out the California Gourd Society as well as the American Gourd Society and find out just about anything that you would want to know about gourds and learn how to grow them and how to even manipulate them so that you can customize your art and choose what you want to do. So you've been listening to KUCI 88.9 here in Irvine, and we've been interviewing Olive Moore of the Orange County Gourd Society and the California Gourd Society. She's the president, and it's been a pleasure working with her today. And I want to remind you that the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. And for more information on this show, visit KUCI.org.